Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Wednesday or Tuesday night at 9:30 Pacific Daylight Time, where we talk to four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And, of course, in the spring and summer, we bring the coaches on for the entire program. We rotate them. Then the first Tuesday after Labor Day, that'll be, I guess, the Tuesday after Labor Day, actually, in September, we'll bring all four coaches back on for the same show. And, by the way, my name is Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. And I am a weekly appearance on Wheels at Work with the great Brian Wheeler, the voice of the Portland Trailblazers, on Rip City Radio 620. But tonight, it's always a pleasure to talk to this person. I've known him for 35 years, I think. Wow. And he's, you know, maybe a little less than that, 30 years. And he is now into his 40th year of coaching basketball. And along with Tanny Miles, the most successful college coach in the state of Oregon's history of college coaches, Cliff Wagner. Cliff, the summer.
Happy summer. Yes, indeed. It feels like August. I know you, like myself and a lot of other people, have spent a lifetime in Oregon and can't ever remember a summer like this where it had so much sweltering weather so early.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It seems like we're at the end of August, the way we've had the weather, and you know, we're calming down. The days are getting slightly shorter. You're right, Cliff. It is, but, you know, on the other hand, after we cross that July 4th, which I'm happy to get past always, then we start talking about football and fall sports and the start of training camps for basketball. We're itching to get going here.
Yeah, we are. It's kind of a lull time for a lot of us in basketball, one of the few lull times of the year between the end of recruiting and really starting to get serious about workouts for the fall. But it will be upon us. It will be upon us soon. July 4th is always sort of a midpoint of summer for that.
Cliff, you know, what have you been up to this summer? I know you're excited about the team you've got coming in 15, 16, and you've been working a little bit as a consultant with the new Pro-Am League, Terrence Jones, AC Green Pro-Am League here in Portland, who play again this weekend, and I'll be over there Saturday and Sunday. And then you've got all your other things going. You got a great family, and you enjoy your off time.
I certainly do, and, you know, as much as we complain lately about the heat, there's really, I can't think of a better place in the world that you'd want to spend your summer in than Oregon. And I'm a country guy from a small town, so I still like getting out and fishing, and I have been doing that a little bit, taking my dog down to the river and just playing catch and letting him run wild. I enjoy the outdoors, and so I try to get down a lot of that kind of stuff done during my shutdown time. And I know my players are sort of taking a little bit of a break now, and I hope they're doing some things to enjoy this great Oregon summer as well.
Cliff, among the thousand things that I like about you, you hardly ever miss listening to the other shows that I do on Blog Talk Radio and another one you're part of, the Portland Metro Small College Hoop Show on Sunday. I know you were listening to the whole program with Denari Foreman. We got to see a little different side of Denari on that program. It was fun.
You know, it's I really enjoy listening to Denari. He's one of my favorite human beings, and you know, you couldn't ask for a more positive and just enthusiastic guy to coach basketball and be around kids. And not only that, you know, he brings a love of humanity with a great knowledge of basketball, and you know, a competitive spirit for those of us that saw him play know he was a ferocious player. So, yeah, I always enjoy listening to Nunari and the other coaches. They seem to do a great job, and I just enjoy hearing what they have to say about things and picking up a few ideas.
Cliff, when you arrived at Clackamas Community College, I believe 1999, you can correct me, after a great run at Oregon City High School, you just went uptown. A lot of people go downtown. You went uptown in your move. I kind of describe it. I have a funny way of describing things, so I'll apologize in advance, but you didn't come to a light bulb that was broken by any means, but you took it from 60 watts to 100 watts.
Well, yeah, you know, I want to acknowledge the, you know, the people that went ahead of me, the coaches, you know, the guys like Chuck Hudson, who started the program, Lynn Terrell, who coached for a number of years, then Royce Kaiser, who came in and won two NLAC titles and some league titles, and really was competitive for many, many years at Clackamas. So when I arrived, and it was actually 1998 when I first started in that spring as head coach, I had a program that had a reputation, but unfortunately, junior college being what it was, you know, we didn't have much stock in the cabinet right then. So we really had to rebuild that first year, and that was really the only year that we struggled, and as it turned out, we faded down the stretch with some injury problems and didn't make the playoffs. And then starting with 1999, we've had a postseason game every year since then. So we have had a great run. You know, I want to acknowledge Paul Fiskum, who's a guy that spent 10 or 12 years early on with Royce Kaiser and really did a fabulous job helping Clackamas basketball get to that level, and who continues to help us again at Clackamas. And so it was a great program, you know, and I feel like we've taken it up another notch with not just the basketball, but the other things that we've done in the program, particularly with our academic support and our hard work to move players on and get them scholarships.
And, you know, Cliff, I think sometimes it's to have a successful athletic program and academic program, they're always underrated. You got to have a great administration. I always refer to my good friend down at Klamath Falls, Chris Maples. I mean, you know, Danny Miles is fabulous down there, but he has the total backing of Chris Maples and a big supporter of athletics, the president of Oregon Tech. You got to have an administration behind an athletic program to have success.
Well, you better have your administrators believing that what you're doing is important and supporting you, because ultimately they're in charge of things and making decisions that do enhance your program and do allow you to be competitive with other programs and compete at that highest level. So we're fortunate at Clackamas. We have a great interest in sports from President Truesdale on down, and the board has been very supportive. People at Clackamas love athletics, and they've been supporters for many, many years. The community at large has been extremely supportive of the college at large, and the college has hardly ever put up a bond issue that they didn't pass. And the community support, the relationship with the community and the college have really been tremendous. So we've been fortunate enough to enjoy that support from the top down to enhance our men's basketball program for sure.
You know, one thing too, Cliff, is you talked about them in glowing terms, and rightfully so, your assistant coaches. But, you know, one thing I've not asked you, you know, it besides the great support they give you and the continuity they give you, just to have those guys sitting there on the bench has got to up the level of a head coach like yourself, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I look at the benches at some of the other programs, and you know, a lot of coaches really struggle to find quality assistants in the NWAC. You know, it's not a high-paid position. It's certainly not much glory. And if you do it, you're doing it for the love of basketball. So for me to have guys like Paul Fiskum and Brian Stamm on the bench who really have studied hard to learn their craft and continue to go to clinics and improve and continue to come up with new ideas and new defensive schemes and so forth. And that's just an invaluable resource, and I can't tell you how much it means to me and how much I appreciate it and how big a part of our success it is. There's a lot of things that Paul Fiskum does that allows us to win games that, you know, most people don't realize he's doing. And Brian Stamm has been tremendous in his preparation and scouting as well. So I always tell him, hey, don't stop talking to me and you know, don't stop talking because I don't do everything you suggest. Their job is to make suggestions, and there's only one person that can make decisions. But I really appreciate their input, and a lot of the things we do in the game are generated by suggestions that come from Paul Fiskum and Brian Stamm, for sure.
And, you know, to add on to that, Cliff, I've kind of surrounded myself with coaches that I really enjoy and are quality people. And let's face it, sometimes in athletics, there's some people in the game of basketball and coaching in general that are a little too arrogant for me. I don't want anything to do with them. But Paul and Brian not only are outstanding basketball coaches, they're just flat, kind, good people.
Yeah, they really are. They're good all around people. They're great role models. They're humble people. And we do a great job, I think, of taking our job seriously without taking each other too seriously. So there's a lot of tee-hee and a lot of poking fun and a lot of us making each other the butt of jokes and stuff like that. But when it comes down to basketball, we're focused and we're on track and we're trying to do the best job we can to put our team in the best position to win every game we play at Clackamas.
Cliff, you know, it's going to happen someday. You might lose those guys. More apt to happen with Brian than Paul, but as a general rule, you are so great a basketball coach and so savvy and have such a winning tradition. Do you have kind of a short list in your back pocket of who might replace those guys if they were to leave? And I'm asking this question generically tonight. I'm not saying they're leaving or anything, so listeners, don't get the wrong impression. I'm asking as a generic question, do you keep a short list always of replacements?
In a word, no. We talk, our deal with our staff is we sit down at the end of every season and we talk about the year and we talk about what we want to do next year, and we make a commitment at that time if we're all coming back for the next season. And we do it 1 year at a time, and I think we'll just continue to do that. So, No, I don't think anybody to replace those two guys. They're great coaches, and I hope they coach as long as as I keep coaching. If I did replace somebody, it would probably be a young ex-player who had an enthusiasm, a passion for coaching, maybe a guy like Justin Steinke, who's knowledgeable, energetic, and so forth. But, I don't keep a list. I get a lot of inquiries from coaches, I really do, who want to come and coach, and I feel like our staff is pretty full and we don't have any more money to hire any more assistants, so we like the staff we have, and we'll just keep it the way it is.
Cliff, you know, take your time on this one. Talk a little bit about the great players that you've coached at Clackamas. And I know you're the type of guy that doesn't want to leave anybody out, but, you know, some of the real highlight players that you've had the opportunity to coach. And I know in talking in, I can say this sincerely, you enjoy everybody you coach, but who's a few that the listeners might like to know about?
You know, going back to my very first year when I assisted Royce Kaiser at Clackamas, we had a guy named Kyle Dixon. And Kyle Dixon went from Clackamas to Gonzaga University. And for the first time in Gonzaga's university, they won the West Coast Conference. That was in 1995, and made it to the NCAA tournament. So he was instrumental in starting that whole run. And he wasn't just a regular player. He was a first-team All-League performer for 2 years at Gonzaga. So Kyle Dixon, I think, is one of the great players, you know, in our history. To me, Mark Campbell, who played point guard on our 2001 team, may be the best team that I've seen in the NWAC ever, and who went on to play at the University of Hawaii and is now an assistant coach at University of Oregon for the women's program. His running mate at guard on one of those teams was Michael Kugler, who also followed Mark to Hawaii and went on to set many scoring records and play professionally for 10 years in Europe. Brian Freeman, who led our 2007 team to the championship and continues to play in Europe and in France, went on from Clackamas to Long Beach State. I think he's one of the great big men in the history of the NWAC. Chehalis Tapscott, perhaps the greatest player in the history of the NWAC. I don't know of any other two-time NWAC MVP with two NWAC championships and league championship, and he's having a nice professional career. He's played in about five different professional leagues, and he's been in the MVP in every league he's played in. You know, those are some great guys that, you know, have done some things. Max Jacobson's another kid who was a league MVP and went on to play at Northern Arizona, is now in a professional career, last played in Portugal. Those are some outstanding players who are outstanding young men and continue to make us proud with the things they do.
Cliff, I was going to say something about Chehalis Tapscott. I'm not saying this arrogantly. I think I'm an expert in basketball. I think my track record speaks for that. And I'll be eligible for Medicare this year, so I've been around the game a long time. I have never seen a guy, the closest I've seen a guy in all of basketball, ball was in 5 feet of him, that he would always come up with the ball, was Dennis Rodman to Chehalis Tapscott. That guy never missed grabbing a loose ball or a rebound that he had a chance to get, even at his size, which what, Cliff, was about 6'6 or 6'5?
Yeah, 6'6, and you know, he had a wingspan like about a 6'10 kid, so that helped him a lot, but he was relentless as a rebounder. And we played a game when it was opener his sophomore year, and he and I wound up at the emergency room later that night because he had to have his eye stitched up. But he got knocked out of the game four different times because he was bleeding. And he kept getting fouled, no call, just beaten to a pulp. And after the game, you know, we knew he was all over the boards, and we had to pull him out three or four times. But after the game, we looked down and had like 32 rebounds. And we thought, oh my God, but I'd never had a kid get 32 rebounds. And we actually went through the tape later, and we found out he got 36 rebounds in one single game against Spokane. It was the most incredible rebounding performance that I've ever seen. And he was like that game after game, just a tremendous rebounder. And I'll also say this about Chehalis Tapscott. He was such a great kid to coach, always had a smile on his face. And God bless him, he never wanted to do anything except play basketball. You know, we had to work to get him to get through his studies and do his academics. But he did graduate with an associate's from Clackamas and a bachelor's degree from Portland State. But I'm so happy for him because I know wherever he is in Australia playing, he's just doing what he loves to do, and he's just so happy doing it. He just always brought a smile to my face the way he played.
Cliff, I mentioned your 40th year into basketball, and of course we're speaking with Cliff Wagner, if you're just joining us right now, that tremendous head men's basketball coach at Clackamas Community College, the most successful college coach ever in the state of Oregon, along with Danny Miles. If you don't believe that, just go and check the facts. You know, the rise of high school basketball and tournaments and everything, and I bring this up, Cliff, because right before we were going to go on the air, the phone rings, and I look at it, and I couldn't take it, and it's Stan Love. I know how Stan feels about the AAU side of basketball. There's some good side to that and some bad side to that. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. you know, AAU, I think it's really good for kids that are maybe from smaller towns that don't have a chance to be exposed to that level of competition. Normally, it's done a lot for those kind of kids and given them a chance to come and see competition against more and better players. So that part's been good. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that I see coaching, leadership-wise, supervision-wise, a lot of those things have not been very good. And some of the things that are being taught and instilled in players are not necessarily the best things for them. So it's not all good, it's not all bad, but there's some balance in the AAU experience for sure.
Cliff, I happen to know how old you are, and I'm not going to say that. It's none of anybody's business and none of my business, but, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out that you're 40th year of coaching basketball. Could you see yourself coaching into the 80s basketball? And there are a lot of people around the country doing that. You take good care of yourself and you're young at heart, you're around young people. Could you see you doing that, or is that going too long?
That sounds like going too long to me. I don't know. Like I say, I really don't. I don't have a projection or a timeline or anything like that. And once, you know, when you coach 40 years, that's a lot of years, obviously. And people frequently ask me, well, how long do you want to do this, or what are you going to do? And my answer has been the same for all 40 years that I've coached, really. My answer has always been as long as I enjoy doing it and the kids are good to me and it's rewarding and they're respectful and I enjoy what I do and I feel like I'm doing a good job of that, I will continue to do it. And if those things cease to happen and I don't enjoy it and I don't have the energy to do the job that those kids deserve, then I won't. So the best thing I can do is to work out, exercise, keep myself in good shape, mentally, physically, spiritually, keep myself on top of my game, just like I try to teach my players to, and to have a professional attitude and take care of myself physically the way I ask them to take care of themselves physically.
Cliff, a non-basketball question for you, but I'll be interested in your answer. It relates to sports. Why do you think factually, by almost all standards, and I've done a lot of studying of this, is 97% of the people in the United States who set goals do not attain those goals. But yet 50% of people who set deadlines attain the deadline. Why do people fail to meet their goals so much?
Well, I think, I don't know. I've never heard those statistics, but I would maybe conjecture that when you set a deadline, it's a little more hard and fast. It's black and white. You either make the deadline or you're late. Whereas a goal can be more nebulous, more general. A lot of people set goals of, I'm going to get myself in better shape, but they don't really have a plan to go about it. And so they do fail because they never really start and they never really get organized. So I'm a believer in setting goals, but I think you have to look at them. I think you have to remind yourself of them, and I think you have to be committed to them for them to have a chance to work.
Cliff, what's on that clipboard that you storm up and down the that's unfair. You walk up and down the sidelines as you basically stand the whole game. What do you have on that clipboard that you often tuck under your arm during a basketball game?
I've got a whole bunch of things on my clipboard, actually. I normally have season printouts for stats for both teams. I want to be able to glance at that and remind myself of you know, what percentages people are shooting, three-pointers, free throws, and so forth. I have one list. It's a play sheet, and it has all of our offensive plays, all of our defensive calls, all of our special plays, out-of-bounds plays. And it helps me to look at that sheet and think about that. Normally when we start the game, I have the first four or five plays that we're going to run scripted. There's a certain point of attack that we want to go to. Sometimes we want to attack the low post early. Sometimes we want to attack a particular defensive player early. So I've got all that stuff on my clipboard, along with a checklist to evaluate offensive and defensive things for performance. And in addition to that, Paul Fiskum has a checklist of defensive things that he's charting, and Brian Stamm has an offensive checklist of things that he's charting as well. So we're all marking stuff, we're all writing stuff down, we're all communicating, and we're all sharing that knowledge at all times so that we can make the best possible decision in games.
You know, my good friend Jeff Hockley listening tonight, he just texts me, he says, "Greg, what's a clipboard?" Pretty good line.
The answer to that is a clipboard is a piece of wood that lies in several pieces at the foot of a coach after a bad call.
Yeah. Is that the same clipboard all 40 years, or have there been any broken clipboards?
Oh, I've broken more than I care to mention on this show. I broke one last year. One of the two technicals I got was a broken clipboard.
You know what? I'm not going to go any further, Cliff. Have a great week. It was a fabulous program tonight. And when you come on again in 5 weeks, we'll break down your new recruits. How's that sound?
Oh, I'm going to be excited about doing that. I've really got a great group of kids coming in to go with a nice group of returners. So we're really excited about Clackamas basketball next year. And I know the league's going to be tougher with Clark coming in, and I know that Portland's going to rebound, and Chemeca's going to be tough, and Mount Hood's going to be tough, and Lane's going to be good again. But you know what? Bring it on. Let's play. I can't wait to rock and roll.
Very good. The great Cliff Wagner, he is the great. He's a Hall of Famer. He is definitely a Hall of Famer. He'll be in the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame. He has a very good chance to be in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame before he's done, without question. And he's a Hall of Famer with a lot of people, including me, the way he conducts himself and the way he treats people. Good night, Cliff. And we'll say good night tonight as well, Cliff, to Robert Charlin, your great manager, who I understand is leaving you. He's moving to California.
Well, he'll probably be back. You know, he's a bit of a vagabond, but knowing Rob, he's found some place in California that they're predicted to win the national championship because he only goes with winners. I know Rob.
All right, very good. Have a great week this week, Cliff, and we'll catch up with you soon. Cliff Wagner, the great coach at Clackamas Community College, located in Oregon City, Oregon, a member of the NWAC. Thanks for listening tonight. And please spread the word about this program. Good night, everyone, and make your free throws.